and so to Cosmic Vertigo and a new series of pods out this month. Corey Tutt and Carly Noon, and how Maths for Her came despite the teachers.
We were poor. We were Aboriginal. We grew up in the suburb that was very much on the other side of the tracks. This is all teachers could see about me. They could only see the things that made me different from the high achievers. Now, when we think of the high achievers, they're largely coming from really stable families, financially stable. They come from a family who are already in STEM. You know, their parents have been working in STEM in some way or another, or at the very least, their parents have gone to university before. And I really couldn't be further from that. And this resulted in a lot of low expectations put on me. So despite the fact that I was absolutely smashing maths, I was a maths whiz. I took so much pride from beating all the boys in my class at
maths.
You
still do, and you still are, Carly. You're a mathematics expert, and you totally nailed it. So no more past tense, please.
Okay, I'll accept it. Look, I loved it. I loved maths. It was so much fun, but it didn't stop me from being put in the lowest classes. And, you know, even though I was put in the lowest classes, I still smashed it. I still did my best. I still got top of the class. I was teaching my friends because they would listen to me and they, you know, the teacher struggled with getting their attention and I knew what I was talking about. So I was in this really weird position where teachers could acknowledge that I was doing really well because you can't fake a test. And so, and on the one hand, they could see my excellence, but in terms of seeing where that could take me in the future, it got dropped. You know, it wasn't acknowledged at all. And I was perpetually put in the lowest classes. I was put into things that I just wasn't interested in because they assumed that I would want to do things like sports. I was not a big sports fan. And so I completely disengaged in school. I left. What is the point in being here? And I basically put myself in a situation where I was doing independent learning. And I think this is really important for a lot of us who are underrepresented. And this can be in any form. I tell this to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander kids all the time, the importance in independent learning. If I didn't teach myself year 11 and year 12 maths and physics, I wouldn't have undergrads. I wouldn't have degrees. I wouldn't be a physicist. You know, I wouldn't be a mathematician. I wouldn't have these things because the schools wouldn't believe that I could do it or wouldn't give me access to it. So those were probably the main barriers that I faced getting into STEM. But once I got in there, it changed. You know, they're not going to kick me out because I'm an Aboriginal girl trying to do physics. But what I did notice and what I did come up against a lot was just this really casual racism and sexism almost on a daily basis. I want to hear about your experiences with gatekeeping in STEM.
Yeah, well, look, it starts when I was a little kid, right? I had been through a lot of trauma in my life. I'd witnessed a fatal accident at 8 years old, and this put me at a disadvantage, even more so being an Aboriginal kid. Growing up with a single mum, I had a stepdad, but it wasn't really a fatherly thing. So it was my sister and I and occasionally my mum. But it was really hard because we moved around a lot and I had this encyclopedic knowledge of reptiles, right? I could tell you a million different things about lizards and that was purely because my pop, who is a Walford from Walgett, and he gave me a book and it was just called Reptiles in Colour and it was from 1982. And shout out to Harold Cogger, the author, who's still alive. Wow. He's in his 90s now. It was a very special book. It was that self-education piece. How I learned how to read was through that book. And then through that book, I started to learn mathematics because I started to count how many reptiles I had. These are the things that develop passion and purpose, which is something that I think all kids need. I say it to a lot of different kids because I took a different road into STEM than most people. I was a killer at English, history, and science and agriculture. I was easily probably top of the class. But then I would go to maths and I had a teacher that, again, racially profiled me a lot, assumed I was dumb because I was Koori and I came from Dapto. And also, if I had mucked up slightly, I'd automatically be kicked out of a class the next week. I got to year 10 and my careers advisor, again, friend of the show, I think he's a really great educator. He sat across from me. He goes, what do you want to do when you leave school? And it was kind of one of those, again, old white male sort of things where he was sort of hushing me because he has to legally ask me this question. I want to be a zookeeper. I wanted to be like the Harold Coggers. I wanted to be like the Harry Butlers, but I wanted to be the Blackfella version. Yeah. And I wanted to be the thing that inspired kids to love animals and learn about wildlife. And when I said that I wanted to be this, he looks back and he sits in his chair and takes a sigh and he just goes, stick to a trade. And I was kind of shocked. And he goes, you know what, kids like you who come from pretty rough backgrounds, you don't really have much of a future unless you do a trade. You're probably going to end up in jail or even worse. I left school at 16. And to give you context of how far I travelled, I was growing up in Ewan country on the south coast of New South Wales. And I travelled from New South Wales to a place called Boyupbrook, which is 4 hours inland of Bunbury, which is in Western Australia. So I travelled across the whole country at 16 to work at this wildlife sanctuary because you can't be what you can't see. And I was determined to work with animals. So I had to go around the old fashioned route in science. And then when I sort of went through the zoos and ended up becoming an animal technician, and I started working in the labs, I came up with a system, an ingenious system to put everything in order in the lab, which anyone who's worked in a lab, having everything in order really helps.
Having a system for sure.
And it was going to reduce costs by 20%, but that got knocked on the head. And then that idea suddenly comes out, you know, 6 months later and is patented like their idea. And I've had this all along. When I started my charity, Deadly Science, I knocked on so many professors' doors and just said, hey, share your knowledge with me. Help me build this program. And they shut their doors in my face because I was scared of something new.
Corey Tutt from Deadly Science, Young Australian of the Year in New South Wales. And Corey, I have that very same book on lizards and snakes by Dr. Hal Cogger next to me right now. And he was with me at the Australian Museum as we set up the Eureka Prizes 27 years ago. And you also heard Carly Noon, herself nominated for a Eureka Prize. She's an ambassador for the Sydney Observatory and researching at the Australian National University. Both are stars of the latest Cosmic Vertigo pods out this month.